what I want to share this evening. Well, look at it. It's part of our series of warnings and prayer, but seven important things. See how I started, right? I only say seven or five, but seven important things you need to know about being led by the Spirit. Seven important things. You know, we're in a kind of, it's not confused, but choked up world. You know, someone was writing something today and caught my attention. I just saw it was a Facebook post, it was a pastor, and he said that people no longer ask. Now, of course, we're talking about people traveling out of the country. I mean, if your pastor doesn't know about that now, maybe he's pastoring in the village. Even the village people are doing the same thing. So the guy now says something that I said, of course, people always argue logically, the economy or no economy, whether it's good or bad and all that. That's just logical. I mean, people that will thrive, okay? That's the truth. So people don't have to thrive anywhere. People cannot thrive anywhere. So it's just the truth, you know, but that was so logical. So the guy said that, you know, that we have gotten to a point that Christians no longer pray about things. You no longer say whether it's the will of God. As long as everybody is doing it, they get to do it. That got my attention, you know, because I love to always, what do I call this now? Look in between. Okay, this is important. That Christians just say, if I've seen people today, they will come and tell you something. They now ask them, have you prayed about it? And they can say things like, I'm praying, sir. Ah, and you are gone this far. It's almost like it's an outdated thing, you know, like it's outdated. And like I was telling someone who reminded me, and I said to the fellow, I said, that no matter where you be, I said, you are going to be great. I said this to the person years ago, I said, you're going to be very great. You are going to be, but the core thing in your life, right, you will have been great if you were not born again. But now that you are in Christ, you know that you have a destiny in God, you know. And like Pastor Chris said to us then, he said, there's a destiny in the world. There's a destiny in God. Never say whatever will be. You know, it's what you allow or disallow. And, you know, and when I said to the fellow, he said, the fellow came to talk to me 10 years after. I'm saying this again. In fact, I've said this to leaders, this particular story. I won't give you the details. And he said, you said this to me 10 years ago. He told me, he says, I've reached the very peak. Like you said. I said, I told you. But, you know, there's something that is throbbing your heart. And you know it. Except you are not born again. Right? When you are not born again, I just leave you. You can even abuse, you can even abuse God, you know. But when you are born again, it's what it is. You know, you'll now be acting happy. You'll be making up, you know, and you're not, you know. And you know you're not. And there's something again, you know, that my brothers were saying yesterday, that, I mean, for years, I was really, you know, I didn't exactly disagree, but I was just finding a way around it. That, the truth is that, and I said it on Sunday, or which day did I say, that there's such a thing called God's second best. That this is not the best. This is not like what God really wants. And we looked at that example on Sunday. Was it on Sunday or last week? When we said, oh no, it was on Monday. It was on Monday actually. When we said that God went with Israel, you know, it's the angel that was with them, Exodus 23, 20 and 21. Then when they went into idolatry, he now said that he was going to forsake them. Of course, you know that idiom, I will forsake you, you know what it means. Somebody is forsaking and he's still talking to you. So what he's basically saying is, you know, he's giving them their wishes. So when Moses, of course, was tying the place of intercession, then the Lord said to them in Exodus 33:1, he says, well, I will send an angel. Now, you know, I did that study for, can you remember that study, name of Jesus? No, made that distinction, can you remember? Can you remember that distinction we made? Can you remember? You were not the name of Jesus. We did it wasn't a Sunday service teaching, no. It was a seminar teaching. No. Who can remember what I'm saying? That when we saw the difference between the Exodus 23 and Exodus 33, can you remember? That Moses now said, that if you will not go with us, then we cannot go. That is, he knew that, yes, God was giving them something, but that was not the best. He knew it. Same way Israel asked. So if God, the fact that God is doing something or is dealing with someone doesn't mean the person is doing his will. Is that magnanimous? But you have not, it's still not his will. It's just what he allows. Brother Hagin will call it his permissive will. And he teaches it from Romans 12:2. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and presentable to your reasonable worship. He said, be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may approve that which is the good, acceptable, permissive, and perfect will of God. That there's something called the permissive will of God. Of course, we saw that in Israel in 1 Samuel 8, when, not just 1 Samuel 8, the whole book of Judges. I thought we'd done that study too, that they will fall into saying God will give them judges, just temporary things. In 1 Samuel 8, and he had to say to them that, I don't want you, I'm your king, but since they rejected me, he still gave them a king, even though he was the king. And there are some of us that will just say, as long as there's a king, as long as there's an angel, that's interesting. It's just like ministry. There is such a thing as not the will of God, and yet God has permitted it. But you always know that it's not the very best. It's not. I'm sure that when I told you guys, the experience I had in Kenya, I still told a friend today, just this evening. And when I said, I wondered, what's Pastor saying? I mean, yes, Pastor gave us a direction. It looks good. And Pastor comes back and says that he missed it, that this was, it's later you will know. Because you see, you may be making, a distance, and you are going somewhere. You will get somewhere, but that's not where you ought to go. And that's very important. So, there's such a thing like, this is not the, let's call it the perfect will of God for this purpose. And it's just permissive. And that can happen to people, because of what they did, where they got married, who they got married to, things like that. And, and there's a way, and that's something that we have to watch in this generation, this upcoming generation. That when the moment somebody is famous, has money, everything the person does has to be right. No, that's nonsense. No, that is rubbish. So you kind of feel, I'm fine. After all, I have money, I have this one. I remember a friend, I told him to his face, I said, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make a lot of money so that we'll all forget that you are backsliding. I said, if you like, buy private jet, you are backsliding. This was years ago. I said, yes, don't, this one, you are just fooling yourself. I called another friend, and I said, I know you are doing well. I mean, you are doing well in real estate. I thought, but real estate was not the plan. I said, look, don't let it get too long before you realize that what you are doing is wrong. I know there's some things we really weigh, and we think they are really weighty, but this is very key. That there's such a thing as, and we've seen that there's a long suffering of God, there's God's permission. It doesn't mean that he wants it. And imagine standing before the judgment seat of Jesus, let's give it a picturex, and you have said, I didn't ask you to do it. I said, but Lord, I prayed. You heard my, Lord, I did this. But I didn't ask you to. Did you ask me? But Lord, I thought because, you figured it out. No. And that's something we all have to look at. We said this month, the model of research and recalibration, you have to really think. And, pray. So that's why when I had a conversation with Potok yesterday, and, we have seven things, and I'm going to share that. Are you ready? This doesn't preclude you from listening to, in fact, I think you should listen to a lot of series on leading of the Spirit. I was saying yesterday, I remember it was Larry, because he knew Larry Amuso very well. He knew Larry before me anyway. My friend then, Larry used to pastor his church, the fellowship that he started. And I said, Larry used to say that there's a subject you cannot master, even if you can teach it well. The leading of the Spirit. You have to keep hearing it. Almost every time you hear on leading of the Spirit, you'll find out an area of your life you were not paying attention. It's almost every time. Every time you seem to hear it, you seem to know what you have not done. That's how that subject is. That's why I endeavor to teach it every year. So I was talking to him and he said to me, he said that when we talk about this particular one, he said that that what he brought together for me includes plant possession and possession of the spirit. I was led by the spirit of God, my brother Hagin. I said, I usually add following God, he said following God's plan for your life, how can I live by the spirit of God? And I said to him, I said, I add plant possession and possession. Every year, I teach around those three books. Every year. I mean, since 1995-96, I teach around those books. Almost all the time. It doesn't mean that throughout that period, I didn't miss God. No. It shows you how, if you ask me to teach on the leading of the Spirit, from my dream, I can explain it. But every time I'm teaching it to, I'm listening again and I'm saying, oh, that's true. Oh, that's true. And you go back and say, ah, that's true. And that's true. I know we are in, and why I believe that my conversation with him was very critical, we are in a media frenzy world. Have you seen people that they are doing something, maybe they are influenced by the social media, and you ask them why, and they don't have any answers. It's that critical. So why did you say that? Why did you say that? And, you know, the person doesn't know how much is influenced. And you now find it, and a lot of people now find out that men, when it takes off decisions like that, like I said, this is not a teaching for or against people leaving their country. No, I won't, that's not necessary. Not, it's not it's going to all the world. So I'm not going to talk about that. But my point is, you know, you really have to be led by the Spirit of God. Trust me. You really have to be led by the Spirit. And there's something about being slow. There's something about being slow. And some of us, you know, the reason why we keep doing something is because we are just stubborn. Not because we are doing the right thing, we're just stubborn. So, there are several things. Now, the first thing that we shared, because he said it, is God, I'm going to read it out because I typed it and I printed it just like you do most of my notes. God has given absolute guarantee of divine guidance to the believer. Now, when he said this, I'm going to quote him verbatim. He said that this is the most important. And it's almost the one we don't believe. That God has given you an absolute guarantee that he will always lead you. Amen. Say, God has given to me an absolute guarantee that he will always lead me. Now, this is the most important. Which means that you must know this one so well that you will never doubt that God always talks to you. You must know it so well that God has given an absolute guarantee. I want you to know these things almost like you can cram them. That God has given to me an absolute guarantee to always lead me. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, the bigger picture of that is that it's an Exodus story. But the Exodus story is the leading of God's Spirit, where we find the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, and the angel of the Lord. And we see how God led Israel through different phases, the wilderness, and different, you know, experiences. So we know that God leads us, even in the wilderness. I know, guys, interestingly, they were kind of some of the most unruly crowd you can imagine. They were kind of the most unbelieving crowd. But you know what? God always was there to lead them. So I'm assured, which means this is the most critical, that I know that God will lead me. So if I err, I will know. I will know because God always leads me. So I have an absolute guarantee from God that he always leads me. 1 John 2:20. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Now the context of that is knowing false teachers. But imagine that statement by John, that you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Which means that when a believer falls into the hands or the prey of false teachers, it's because he is not listening. Now, John didn't say that because that congregation was well taught. In fact, if you read 1 John very well, this is a right to you that you may know that you have, which means that they were a growing church. But John was so absolute when he says, you have an unction from the Holy One, you know all things. In 1 John 2:27, he says, the anointing that you have received of him abides in you. It teaches you of all things. Again, in the context of false teachers. Now, definitely, that doesn't bring all things like teaches you your school books or teaches you what you should go and study. But when it comes to guidance as to making discernment and distinguishing, God absolutely guarantees that you will know. That you will know. One of the first things I taught, even as a younger Christian, I should teach this a lot, that look, the believer always knows the will of God. He might not walk in it. He might not recognize it, but he always knows the will of God. And almost every time when I have to share with people, and I, you know, see them, maybe they've heard somewhere, or they just want to ask for clarification. If I interrogate them well enough, they will now find out that actually, they just did not recognize it. That God had been speaking to them. Now, someone will say, well, how is that possible? Have you not seen places where someone is teaching God's word and it's assumed it's an heresy? And it's by the Spirit. We found Jesus coming amongst men and they just thought he was just one freelancer. Some thought he was a heretic. Some thought he was of the devil. And that was God. So it's likely that sometimes I can pass off God's voice for a mere feeling. I can pass it off for just an experience, just, you know, something that is fleeting. But the first principle here is I have an absolute guarantee. See, I have an absolute guarantee that God always leads me. It's the most important part. If this one is not there, the others won't fall in place. I have an absolute guarantee that God is always leading me. I have an absolute guarantee that God is always leading me. And that is where I rest my assurance. You know, and some things you can say them. You can say something like, my feet would not slide. My steps are ordered. You know, because God said so. You can say there is no error in my judgment. You can... You might say that so well that it will sink inside. Remember some guys, you have heard this story before. I was talking to someone and I told him, I won't backslide. Ah, he said, brother, how can I say that? I said, no, I'll never fall. Now, he felt I was merely boasting. Well, it's a boast, no doubt, but it's a glory in the Lord. So, and he started praying for me. This was, I think it was 93. He started praying for me. So, I now one day, you know, found them praying actually in the prayer meeting. So I told them to pray for themselves. Not to pray for me, of course. That was a bit arrogant, but it's good arrogance sometimes. So pray for yourself now. I said I'm not going to fall. And I won't. Amen. I have scripture for it. Amen. In Matthew 7, he said, he that builds upon the rock said the storms will come, the winds will say, it wasn't shaking. Amen. So when I say no shaking, no shaking. Hallelujah. So you can actually consistently agree with God's word that you have an absolute guarantee from God for the believer that he always leads us. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and 17. Amongst many texts really. Says, and thus said the Lord, like the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leads thee by the way that you should go. He leads you by the way that you should go. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I'll instruct thee. I'll teach you in the way which you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Amen. Amen. I will guide you with my eye. So that's absolute guarantee. Proverbs 35. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. So, I should be able to say, I trust God. He directs my path. So, the first very important fact about leading of the Spirit is that we have an absolute guarantee from God that he always leads us. He always leads us. So that means in this world that I am in, I know what I listen to. I know what I give heed to. I know where direction for me is. So the second principle, or the second important fact, which he said here, that the benefits of being led by the Spirit. So the first one is know that God has given an absolute guarantee in his word that he always leads you. Now, the benefits of the leading of the Spirit, okay? Look at Isaiah 55. And verse 9. I'll start from 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not either, but waters the earth and makes it bud and bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Then he says here in 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, it shall prosper in that which I sent it. Now look at 12. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Of course, I like to read 13. 13 says, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the bear shall come up the myrtle tree. Shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign shall not cut off. So we can see fruitfulness. Are you there? Okay. Romans 8:16 says you are led by the Spirit. You are son of God. Then, 14. Then 15 says you have received the Spirit of adoption. Hereby you cry, Abba, Father. 16 says the Spirit bears witness our spirit that we are the children of God. Now 17 says if we are children, then we are heirs. So which means that in leading of the Spirit, I walk in God's inheritance in the earth. And that's what Isaiah is saying there. And what am I going to see? I will find joy in his leading. See, I have joy in leading of the Spirit. So now, joy is not something you walk up. It's this joy I'm talking about, it's a gift from God. It's something he gave you. You will find it in this leading. You will find peace in this. What is peace? Peace is not tranquility. Peace is actually, from the Hebrew word, it means completeness or things being together. So which means leading of the Spirit, there will be absence of chaos. There will be no confusion. There will be no, force or fussy feeling. I will have completeness. Some folks will call it nothing missing, nothing broken. What it's basically saying is there will be a settled heart. And what comes out of it here is fruitfulness. 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 Which means that when I walk in the leading of the Spirit, I will be fruitful in God's purpose and plan. So fruitfulness is not something that I will need to struggle to get. If I'm led by the Spirit, I will be fruitful in what God has called me to do. Of course, I'm going to talk about this later, but one thing you are going to find in the leading of the Spirit is that you will find yourself not even willing to compare yourself with anybody. There will be no reason for it. The moment you see yourself, and you are, You saw somebody and you feel like, and I should be like this. And you are just uncomfortable. You want to, you know, you start to race and try to compete. Then there's trouble. You'd naturally just wonder, you know, how did we get to this point? You were not led. Because when you are led by the Spirit of God, there will be no iota of wanting to compete. There will be no reason for it. I've seen times like that, that I saw someone and I felt, you know, and I knew this was the flesh. This is the flesh. This is the flesh. You know? So, you ask yourself, what is the Lord leading me to do? So, in the leading of the Spirit, walk into His inheritance, which is fruitfulness. Say, I'm fruitful. Because I'm led by the Spirit of God. I am fruitful. You know, He said He will turn the wilderness into what? Into rivers. That is the fruitfulness we are referring to. The fruitfulness. You know, I know, and you know, that the work of the ministry in our hands is expanding. It's expanding because we are led by the Spirit of God. We have no dryness. We have no desert. Because in the desert, we spring forth in fruitfulness. Also, in all that we do, in all that I do, in all I do, I am fruitful because I'm led by the Spirit of God. I am fruitful because I'm led by the Spirit of God. Which means things reproduce in my hands because I'm led by the Spirit of God. So I know that. So that is, I know that I am walking in the inheritance of God's fruitfulness. The work of the ministry is multiplying. And as the work of the ministry is multiplying, you know that God also brings resources your way. He brings men your way. He brings opportunities your way. You know, I told someone this. And I said to the person, I said, we're talking. And the person said, you know, Pastor, this is another person. He said, God has opened a lot of doors. I said, well, I said, I've been praying for you. And I said, those doors. And I said to him, I said, you have gotten to the end of how much more you can stay in, let me call it for the purpose of in this plan B. I said, if you try anything further than this, you will not be in any plan. No. So what do I do next? I said, well, you have to take time off now and really spend time praying and fasting. Because if you are not careful, because of how you have grown in what you are doing now, you will start getting logical. And some of us are not very careful. Because of what you do is logical. You have to calculate, you have to do this, or you have to, you know. So you will now start bringing that into how you take your decisions in life. You will be misled. You can't be misled anyway. But don't allow that to mislead you. You cannot be misled. No, you can't be misled. So don't get logical. You just become logical. You become logical. Become logical, you know, because that's how it is, you know. You calculate, or maybe you're a doctor, you have to be, you know. I said to you that I used to have a lot of medical doctor friends. I still do. There was also something they used to say about divine healing that was very, very, something nauseating. They won't say the person is healed. They just say it's getting better. This is it a lot. I had to tell them that, look, if you really want to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, you have to put aside this medical training. At least for the purpose of the supernatural. I know, I got it past some, but some just was, you know, I understand, you know. So you have to sometimes just put that aside. And know that, look, this is the leading of the Spirit of God. And if I am going to be fruitful in God's plan for my life, I will be led. I will be led. So firstly, we said, one, we have and know we have an absolute guarantee from God that He always leads us. I probably will mention this later. That's why there's a way you must not talk. Don't talk yourself out of this. You know, so much, I don't even know, I'm confused. This one, I heard someone say to me that whatever will be. I think the devil will be looking at you. You are playing into his hands. That realm, is his realm. Whatever will be. Whatever will be, will be. And some of us are very careless. Some that I used to talk to like that said, look, you don't seem to work on your words. You seem to be loose in your words. I've seen people that by divine great appearances have seen their words and what it became. So I try to tell them that, watch how you talk and what it became. See, you can talk yourself into struggle in 5 years. And you just be, just enter trouble. You will. You just talk yourself into trouble. So that's why, you have to, that absolute guarantee, God leads me. So you say, I'm led by God. And you know, don't do all this nonsense people do when you're in your office and you want to feel among, you don't want to look at difference. Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. I said this when I was in university, and we now did them. Someone even reminded me when we did our anniversary recently. They were writing, what are you going to do in 5 years' time, 10 years' time? So we were now, of course, they were writing different things. I said, I'm going to be preaching the gospel. I said, in 10 years' time, I will have been traveling around the world, around Africa, around Nigeria. I said around Nigeria, actually. I said, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, I'll have been doing this. Someone said, Pastor Shakes. Oh, this really, I said, no. I'm saying exactly what is going to happen. Now, some people there have been married, have children, have this one. That one does not need confession. The natural course of things. Like saying, I'll be in primary one. That's where all your mates are now. Primary two, primary three. You know, that's not it. But I'm talking about God, and I put it there. That's how I'm doing. Of course, you know I do other things. But that one which I said, I've been doing it. And what I'm saying today, I'll still be doing it. So you need to watch your words. And what you say, I am led by the Spirit of God. So when they say in your office, oh, hey, you this guy, say, don't worry, I'm led by God's Spirit. I'm led by God's Spirit. I'm led by God's Spirit. You know, calm down. I'm led by God. I remember one of my uncles, one day he called me on the phone. He was now saying something to me. He said, look, I'm going to say it all. I said, look. He now said it on the phone. He said, you will still come back. I said, I won't, sir. No, actually, if you really want me to talk, say things like that to me. I said, I won't. I said, you know what? Sir, this conversation will not take place again. I won't give you a room to talk about it. Whatever is born of God overcometh the world. It's not me that you say that to. Was it 2 years ago? 2020. He said, I like how you called me on the phone and said, you are clear-headed, you are clear-minded, you have forgotten what he said. Me, I didn't forget it. I'm led by the Spirit of God. So wherever you are, you are led by God. Don't join people to say everything is, don't say stupid things. Number two, we said, you walk in that inheritance of fruitfulness. Amen? Yes, sir. And as a pastor, you are fruitful. As a Christian leader, you are fruitful. That's what you are. And you are led by the Spirit of God. Okay, the third one here. Know the ways that God's Spirit does not lead. Now, the moment you are trying to go and meet people to let them tell you something, you know, people, they go to prophets. They go to prophets. They'll sound like that. Ha! The person, and that's so funny, with all the things we are teaching you in the Word. And this was years ago. What taught you the word? You still will go to somewhere and somebody will say, hey, somebody will say, you this person. On the road, though. You are supposed to be the one going for evangelism. Somebody meets you on the road. I said, God is saying to me, interestingly, to the glory of God, I've never had that experience. How would you start? Then you know I don't walk anyhow. Do not somebody say who do it, so you don't find, you know, and you're going and this person, you just find somebody from your family, they just come that one woman in your village, one woman in one church, in one prayer mat, and a bah. God does not lead you that way. You should know. You should know. You should know. And I've seen people led away. And I said to her, she kept saying to me, this person saw this, it came to pass. And I said, why are you talking like this? You are taught by God's word. You are, she said, sir, I said, so I kept quiet. I didn't, usually, you hardly can talk people out of their own experiences. So I said, so later on, she came to me one very early morning. No, she actually said, well, one, she said, and I asked a question. I said, are we dealing with the Spirit of God? She said, I think so, sir. I said, I don't think so. We were at that point, emotions had gone over. We now had a conversation 20 years after. Person said, you said it too. It's been 20 years. I said it. Me, I'm led. I said it though. You understand? So, you should know that one. You should know. Someone just miss you and say, how? You are not a baby Christian. Even if you are a baby Christian, at least you are in the proper crèche. Keep that somewhere. You can't be led by fleeces. If it's in the morning, it is God. If it's in the afternoon, it is God. The way it is. Since I've been doing it, it has not been happening. It means that it's not God. Remember what I told Rotox? Yeah, I told him this. I said, Rotox. I said, now he was trying to go somewhere, give this Rema, and it didn't happen. So the third time, I said, Rotox, you want to hear me? It's not the will of God. He kept quiet. I said, look at this one. If it was this one, he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. So one day when we were talking recently, we were both now sharing on how we have told each other this is not the will of God, and we all both failed. I said, you two, you told me this one. You are doing this one. But that was many years ago. So the truth is that don't put out fleeces. Don't say, if by November I don't do this, then it is this one. Satan will wait for it. So if this November, don't worry. Somebody that controls people, you just set it and say, November, that will say, that means not the will of God. Don't put out fleeces. Is that clear? Don't put out fleeces that if by Friday, if by Tuesday, if, and some of us are so stupid. As if you are able, you say your stupidity in your private place. You don't say publicly. I've said it. If by Wednesday. I say, what did she say? What did he say? If by Wednesday. This Wednesday. Is it this one? This one? Don't worry, by Wednesday. Don't put out faces. Don't say, if I apply for the visa, if it doesn't happen there, that means not God. How would you say if it doesn't happen, it's not God? Me, they've denied me before. Visa. I did it again. That's why they have you can appeal. Why is the appeal not the will of God? How do you come to that kind of conclusion? If it happens, it's the will of God. Ha. Don't do that. Don't throw fleeces around. Also, don't let other people. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 2 says, there are those who are led by the Spirit, verse 2, of the prince of the power in the air. That's what we were, but we're no longer there. So we won't yield to people saying, this is how to do it, this is how to go about it. No. We're led by God's Spirit. So don't allow other people lead you. Other people, of course, I'm really speaking generally now, we'll get specifics in a moment. We're also not led by the physical world. We're not led by the senses. We're not led by the senses. We're not led by the senses. We're not led by our feelings. Amen. I feel like this. No, we're not led that way. We're led by the Spirit of God. We're not led by seeking for prophets. Even though prophets can be used by God to lead us, that we know We know that God brought them into our lives, not a prophet that fly by night, not an outhouse prophet, not the one that meets you at the bus stop, not the one that, you know, just calls you from nowhere. But that's how one guy sent me an email, and he says, yeah, I ask a prophet for me every day. That's come and pay him $1. you can't even start with the cheap one. Yeah, nonsense. You can't be led by circumstances. If it happens like this, then it's not like that. You know, if I do this one, if I apply to this place, anywhere, if they apply to 5 places, the one that they took me, that's the will of God. How now? Is God interviewing you? Don't make those conclusions. Do you get it? Don't use your life to play Naira bet. That's what you're doing. That if you can't live like that. You can't be led by physical senses. You can't be led by the social media. And I say, scripture, hear me, you can't be led by social media. Social media is not just Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. You know, also all these things people broadcast. All these things. You know, recently I've been seeing some things on the status of my phone. I said, how did this get? I didn't have the kind of people on my contact. So I called someone, how can I screen things? He said, what's the parameter? I said, believer in the world. He said, how can you? Some, you know, you just go through the status, in going around, you see different things. And just finding out, just open your face. You don't know where you're going to your face, just start to look around. What you're looking for, you find. You know? So I'm not led by the social media. I'm led by the Spirit of God. Are you there? Alright. So, the inward witness. You know how he doesn't lead. Doesn't lead us by us seeking prophets. Doesn't lead us by circumstances. Doesn't lead us by the senses. Doesn't lead us by us putting out fleeces or social media. But he leads us by the inward witness. Romans 8:16. We've taught that before. It's the witness of the human spirit born again, when exposed to a fact that endorses, refutes, accepts, or acknowledges it. I was telling someone, I said, look, that initially we're talking about just about, you know, I said, when you said about that person, I was a bit disturbed. So when I saw the person and we spoke, I knew in my spirit, it was clear that this is okay. That's it. You've exposed it to a fact. You've exposed. It's a fact. The inward witness. Also, there's the audible voice, where you can literally just hear. And some of the audible voice is that you will know God is talking to you. The audible voice. There's the inward voice, where you just hear a voice in your spirit. Acts 23 and verse 1. And I'm not doing much of an exegetical teacher. I just want to outline things that you should never forget. In all good conscience. Paul was talking about his spirit there. Romans 9:1. Paul says his spirit bearing him witness in the Holy Ghost. First Kings 19, verse 12. The still small voice. Have the still small voice. We've done these teachings before. You just know. And something about God's voice is that there's clarity in it. You will know it's God talking to you. Alright. Acts 27 verse 9 to 10. Just put that somewhere. The inward witness. Acts 8:29. Acts 8:29. That's Stephen. Look at all our series, these teachings are there. The Spirit said to Philip, Philip. 1 Samuel 3:1-4, where we had the word of the Lord revealed to Samuel. Also, another way I can be led by the Spirit of God is through prophecy, tongues plus interpretation. Prophecy, tongues plus interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14:26-29-30. If anything be revealed. So things can be revealed in such meetings. Of course, by tongues interpretation, which means that when I'm in a meeting, even in my private life. Somebody was telling me one day, was one paper that I delivered. Then the guy asked me a question. He said that, well, what is this thing that you people do in the charismatic circles? You are speaking in tongues and then you interpret it and then you receive edification. He said, Paul said that it is the church that receives edifying. That this one that you are doing is selfish. I let him land. I said, so the person prophesying has left the church? He said, no. I said, I'm part of the church. And so, as a church, I'm not a body of Christ. I said, I've answered you. So which means that by tongues and interpretation, I can also receive edifying. I can receive edifying. So which means that I will, rather than all this one that you are looking for, just browsing, googling, or Google, using Google, or looking for, if you just spend time in tongues and interpretation, you know, and I'm not talking about just meetings. Yes, meetings also work. You will find God's will in that ministry. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 13 and verse 31. You know, in Acts 21 verse 8 through to 11, when you find that's the disciples, Philip's daughters, and of course Agabus, you see tongues plus interpretation there. And they found the will of God. Acts 21 verse 8 through to verse 11. Also by visions and revelations. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 to 4, Paul. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1, there was no open vision. Which means that by open vision, we come to know the will and plan of God. So these are areas. You know, in the series we did last, we said, there are streams, okay? So a believer must be aware, must know those streams. There's the inward witness, there's the inward voice, there's the audible voice. You know, there are visions, you know, there's tongues and interpretation. There are different streams of that leading. Different streams of that leading. In Acts 10:10, Peter also had the same kind of vision. Acts 11:5, he described it, of course. Acts 22 verse 17, Paul. Acts 22 verse 17. Acts 9 verse 1 to 6, again, Paul. So you can have visions, and there are times that, you know, I just had a vision, and that's how I knew what God was saying. There are times that inward witness. There are just times that you just hear something. So you should, don't master something and ignore the other things. There are different streams of God's leading. And there are times in our lives that what God will use to get across to us is a vision. Sometimes. So we have visions, okay? Also, we have revelations. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 31, where things are revealed. 26 to 21, things are revealed. They are revealed. And they come out in open. Oh, okay. Then they are revealed to you. Of course, this deals a lot with meetings, and things are revealed. Now, I want to talk about an area. I won't really focus on it because now, but we talked about this a bit yesterday, and that's the place of dreams. Now, interestingly, what people play down on dreams, the reason why they do it, or we do it, I'm also one, is because we feel that it's been abused. And I've noticed something. The moment something is being abused and you want to critique it, oftentimes people throw away the baby and the bathwater. But like I said to yesterday, I said that, but the fact remains that almost all of us have been led by God through dreams. Yes, the area we downplay the most. Yes, we know that dreams can be as a function of mortal activity. Dreams can also be inspired of the evil one, but there are dreams that can come from God. Joseph had one. In fact, the activities around the incarnation of Jesus were majorly dreams. And let me show you another text that it's almost like, of course, there's Acts 2, 16 to 17. It looks, okay, Matthew 1, 20, Joseph. Matthew 2, 12, Joseph. 12 and 13. Matthew 2, 12 and 13, Joseph. Matthew 2, 19 to 22. About all the activities around the incarnation were by dreams. Matthew 1:20, Matthew 2:12 and 13, Matthew 2:19 to 22, Then Matthew 27:19, of course, that's Pilate's wife. Matthew 27:19. One thing a friend of mine shared years back, I remember this very well, he said that, of course, this is different. I hope you interpret it properly. He said that, I think it was Larry that said it, that T.J. Larry, one of them, said that when Jesus, the incarnation, that we had a lot of such dreams. And then he mentioned Abraham. Then he now said that he believes that towards the end of the age, that what will close is through dreams. Interpret it properly. What's basically saying is that there will be a whole lot of spirit-inspired dreams. So, somebody had asked me before, why does God use dreams? I said, that's when we are most quiet. Because it appears like, don't take me too seriously on that. Now look at Acts 16, where I wanted you to actually look at. Hope you are learning something. Acts 16. And verse 9. Now when they were about to, this looks actually like a dream. You know, when they were going and the Spirit said, don't go, they were forbidden by the Spirit, verse 6, not to go, verse 7. Now, verse 6 and 7 looks more like utterances. Because that's the way the Spirit, when you say the Spirit, and it comes to a collective people, it's via utterance and revelation. But look at that 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And it says, there stood the man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he enabled us to go. It appeared like a dream. Vision, because that's one of the things that dreams are called, visions of the night. Now, look at the vision of the rescue of Israel as well, was by a dream. Genesis 46 verse 2, Daniel 7:1-2 are all dreams. Daniel 7:1-2, Genesis 46 verse 2. Yeah. So, we have multiple streams, and let me say something to you. For every believer, all these things, one or more, will happen in a day. Amen. One or more will happen in a day. One or more will happen in a day. And I am of the firm persuasion that in this time of fasting, that we're going to have multiplied streams like that in our personal lives. So let's go over it again. Number one, there's a God-given guarantee that He always leads us. Number two, there are the fruits or benefits of leading of the Spirit. Number three, know the ways that He doesn't lead and know the ways that He leads. You say He doesn't lead you by going around to prophets. And you know, if you're an African, one way or the other, either your parents or your uncle or your aunt, somebody has brought that kind of thing to you. Like, you took your name to go and pray. And also Pastor Kari, they said that the mother said, you should bring the name of the person he wants to marry. So he said that there are three. He said, okay, that he should bring all the three. So he said there are three people that he's thinking of. He said he did that because he knows his mom. She will go and pray about it. He said there are three that he's thinking of. Yeah, bring the three. So he now gave her the names of the three names of the wife now. Elizabeth, maybe Adeshola, maybe Abimbola or something. Mother said, they went to pray, he said, that is Elizabeth. He said, so I think he never told mother that she bought the three names. So, I mean, we don't find ourselves going around with things like that, okay? I know the thing about it, people that seem to not like the word, and they will say, you are too zealous about the things of God. Yeah. These are the things they do. They go and look for prophets. I know. Say, why are you? You know, there was something my dad said one day. I'll never forget it. I don't think I've said it before. So we, of course, he used to have issues and we used to, so one day he was asking, he was saying, what do we think God saying in this, it was something that happened in Nigeria, so he was now trying to say, what do we think God is saying? I think it was after the June 12th or something. When I said, what is, so, how my cousin was, they said, what can I talk to you? There is this one that is always praying. He doesn't come to watch movies with us. He doesn't come to, that's the kind of person God will talk to. As funny as what he said was, he said, he wasn't joking. He said, how will God talk to you? Ah, pay money afternoon evening. Ah, you are too busy. You know, so we're like that, yeah. Not circumstances, not people, not the senses, not social media. The inward witness, leading of the spirit, inward voice, audible voice. Are you here? Visions, revelations, utterances, and dreams. Now, number four. A key ingredient to discern the leading of God's spirit is to be full of the word. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate day and night, and observe to do all that is therein. Then you make your way prosperous and have good success. Joshua 1:8. Now, what does that mean? You know, I said it earlier. You know, every time you hear God's word, right, it gives you clarity about the leading of the Spirit. And specifically, if you take time to listen a lot to a teaching or teaching around the leading of the Spirit, you are able to many times. Sometimes you just say, oh, that's what God was saying. That's what God is saying. And there are many instances like that. Just by reading God's word, things become clearer to you. Sometimes you are in the service as well. James 1:22, do not be a hearer of the word only, but a doer, deceiving your own selves. Proverbs 4:20-22. Proverbs 20:27. Says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my saying, keep them in the midst of your heart, let them be from your heart, for their lives of those who find hell to all their flesh. If you put the word first place, right, you put the word first place. Now, this is why E.W. Kenyon, I can think in the teachings, he said there are four things to do. Number one, put the word first place, all right, meditate upon the word, speak the word, all right, of course, instantly obey the voice of the Spirit. Put the word first place. Now the first three are the same thing. Put the word first place. Alright? Meditate upon the word. Then speak the word. Then you instantly obey the voice of the Spirit. So if I'm going to get the benefit of the word that I'm hearing tonight or on Wednesday next week or on Sunday, what I'll do is that I'll put it first place, which means that I'll listen to it a lot. I'll go over it again. To put something first place means you give it priority. Okay, I'll read the notes again. I would listen to it all over again. Then I'll start to meditate. Now, usually, every time you are listening to the teaching again, you are meditating. Because you are thinking. You are thinking through again. Then you begin to say it. What do I mean? After a teaching, for example, on prayer, or a teaching on walking in love, or a teaching on walking in the Spirit, or a teaching on evangelism, or a teaching on the leading of the Spirit, I begin to say it. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I walk in the light as he is in the light. You know, and as I do that, I will instantly be able to discern and obey the voice of the Spirit. So, when I'm full of the word, it guarantees me the capacity to discern the leading of God's Spirit. That's number four. Now, number five that he said here, he said things that aid the leading of the Spirit. Praying in tongues. See, if there's something you should do a lot, pray a lot in tongues. Pray a lot in other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, he that speaks in tongues, it says, speaks unto God, albeit in the spirit, speaks not unto men, no man understands, albeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He speaks to God, no man understands. Habit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. In verse 4, since he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. There is enough in 1 Corinthians 14 for you and I to pray in tongues a lot. Pray in tongues a lot. And I sense something, I said that when I was coming up this evening, that a good number of us that have, as it were, we have become jaded when it comes to praying in tongues. You know, when something is jading, you are fading off. You, not that you are not there, you are praying in tongues. But you are not... You are not praying in tongues the way you would have prayed in tongues a couple of years back. That you will consciously, you know, spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. I think, get back that habit. Where you consciously pray in the Holy Ghost. You and I know something. And I know you know this. that when it comes to laying a hold on a personal revival, you know this. You know it and I know it. That when I want to have a personal revival, and I want to lay a hold on something about ministry, all I need to do, some things are just, they are just a given. It's not like I'm giving you a magic wand, but you can readily just say, you know what, this coming days, I'll just take some time off to fast and pray, and pray in tongues a lot. 100% of that time, you get a personal revival back. 100% of that time, you seem to be stronger in discerning the will of God. You know what I'm saying, and I know. See, no principle. There's no principle of God's word that can get eroded with time. Yeah, I was saying someone was talking about, I'm not one given to saying something that's happening in the media and all that, but I have to say this one. You know, and I said that, you know, there's some things that you don't say, that was then. No. I said, God set this earth and he put certain truths and principles. I said, the culture of honor and courtesy is of God. Now, you can't replace it with advancement technologically. That it doesn't matter. Since we are, I said, no. It's within, I think I heard T.D. Jakes say this one, the Bishop T.D. Jakes. He said that when there is no kind of reverence for anything, that society is broken down. That there is no untouchables. God, as even our physical bodies, there are some untouchables. Even the physical body will teach you. If they say, this guy was wounded in his finger, you just say, that his eyelashes, it was cut. You say, If they say, they cut his hair. But if you say, they cut his heart. Eh? Because you know it's an untouchable. You can't see that in nature and think that in life, that there's nothing I cannot talk about. There's not, No. Don't bring in chaos into yourself or your life. And I'm saying this to this generation that seems to be, there's a breakdown in parenting. And the reason for this is many upcoming parents, maybe this last generation, they've delegated parenting to the media. So the usual, you know, discipline that comes from the home is almost missing. And there's trouble. That's why the church has to wake up and start to train young people properly. People need to have church manners. And the church manners will now become, we used to have there's church training, home training. Now the church has to take both together. Because you know, you don't, when you plant a seed, you usually see the harvest years to come. You get all the money, you get all the, you have, like someone like a pastor told me, he said, we are growing a generation that has a lot of knowledge but very little wisdom. Knowledge is, you have a gun, you can shoot. You know, wisdom is that, lack of wisdom, you can use it to kill yourself. That's what it is. And the moment somebody gets up and says, anything in his past is nonsense, all those who are older than he don't know anything, that fellow is charting a path that is destructive. That is destructive. So we need to all learn that as believers. I said that along the lines of some things are principles. Take some time and fast. Wait on the Lord. Pray in the Holy Ghost. It's a giving. It is not having that quiet time. A personal retreat. Not the nonsense say, I want to take some time off ministry. Just want to go out. That's rubbish. That's what I'm talking about. Regular. Taking time in the Word. Alright? And praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray a lot in tongues. Don't let it be jaded. That you are just faded. But you not found yourself the way you really want to pray in the Holy Ghost. And just stay up late and pray in the Holy Ghost all day, you know, to edify yourself. Number six that he said here, hindrances to being led by the Spirit. He said the first one is weights and sins. Weights and sins. When someone, for example, is living in sin, Hebrews 12:1, the weight and the sin that does so easily beset. Now, of course, apart from the error of judgment that happens, is the fact that even when someone just has a sin consciousness oftentimes affects how we hear from God. Sin or even sin consciousness. Sometimes it is not sin. It's just a sin consciousness. So both ways, whether it is sin or sin consciousness, it affects the way we are led by the Spirit of God. Condemnation never helps, right? In hearing from God. So a believer would do well to just get rid of that. Of course, number one, by ensuring he lives right. Alright? He lives Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Because that's, when it comes to attraction to others. But he lives right. Then also he thinks right. And he believes right. So that he's not just living right, but he also believes right as touching God's forgiveness of sins and God's gift of righteousness. What else hinders us? Impatience. Now, I know it like the back of my hand. The moment you're in a hurry, forget God. If you don't see the Bible, God is not in a hurry. At all. You would have thought that Adam said, guys, 10 minutes. Wrap all this nonsense up. Oh yeah. Eternal life. Oh yeah. Well, he doesn't do that. He doesn't pam 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 go into all the world and preach God to every creature. You have thought that as he said it. Since now redemption has come, Jesus has risen from the dead. In 2 years, done. Build your church. And we are still saying it now. So the moment you are in a hurry, that you will know you are in trouble. You are in a hurry. Don't be impatient. There is no hurry. Someone was saying one time, all my mates are done, so I said some are dead. Don't use that one for you. Don't use that one to judge yourself. Oh, that's why I say, look at my mates. And you know the person is battling something. Say, look at that person. You know, go and take it. Because that's what you want. You just follow God's plan. Is that clear? No word of impatience. Someone told me, say, I've waited long enough. I said, it's true. At that point, you don't cancel that person. Okay. Our entrance is not working all the light that you have. You have the light of the word. I like something that Roy Hicks said. He said, when you have light and you're looking for light, you are going to get darkness. You already know the word. I saw someone else, I said, you have a church. You have a pastor. And I'm not saying that we know everything in 6th Corinthians. We are growing. We care. We know very little. But at least the one we know, you need it. You have a church, they teach you the word every Sunday, every Wednesday. You have study group. They keep you around the word. If you are still looking for the word, you know it's not the word you are looking for. Someone told me one day, he said, the books you wrote, are we going to read it in heaven? Is that because I'm trying to... You have an idea. I just said, you are going to get what you are looking for. Here's what you are looking for. So walk in the light that you have. This one that you have. Someone said to me, he said, sir, I'm just wondering, those people who are in so and so place, how do they hear the gospel? I said, have they heard the gospel at Morocco Road? He said, no. Are you preaching at Yabatek? You see, you don't really have anything. It's not burning for souls you have. It's not burning for souls. It is burning for souls. Tonight, if you have burning for souls, you won't sleep. By 11, there will be some people under the bridge that smoke. That burning will juice you there. So walk in the light that you have. They say you should pray, wake up in the morning and pray, prayer chain. It's like you are chained. You know what I'm saying? Say, Pastor, I'm just looking at that beefy prayer life where I can tarry, wake up first. Wake up first. Wake up at that 4 and pray. Don't say, I just sense that. Break, four. Wake up. You set alarm, you put alarm off. Almost like you are the alarm of the alarm. The alarm goes on, you are the alarm. Like, the alarm goes up, your own alarm comes up. I have never in my life, I'm saying it, needed alarm, ever. I've never needed it. Because if I want to wake up, it's on my mind. So I'll be up at 5. 5 in the evening, it's 5. Walk in the light that you have. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
What else hinders us? We said number one, weight and sins, including sin consciousness, right? Number two, impatience. Three, not walking in all the light that you have. Four, being ruled with fear and the senses. Being ruled with fear. See, fear, anxiety, I told you, not God, forget it, and the senses. Being ruled with fear and the senses. What do we now do? When the lockdown, and we didn't know, I just heard from God, God told me to do something. He said, well, just go and follow you. I said, I've never heard God say this to me before. He said, well, he said, you should do something. So he told me, you know, how to go about it. That's how we share things amongst ourselves. So in 2020, just started teaching, and I didn't have any idea of the lockdown. I didn't have one single idea. But I just knew I was going to do something. And God, who had the idea, prepared our hearts. So what do we do? I said, nothing. We're not going to do anything in fear. We're just going to walk in the light that we have. Don't go and do that as a church. So people are not in church. Oh, you know, okay, should we do that? No, don't do things like that. Don't be ruled by anxiety. Don't be ruled by fear. Or by the senses. Or something that is in vogue. Don't be. And so, try doing something as a believer. Let me share some. This is my own personal counsel. If something is in vogue, and everybody's, let's say, I'm talking fashion. Everybody is using one. For the sake of your sanity, right? Hold back and wait till it's dwindling before you start using it. It's good many times to exercise control over your life on the affairs of this life. And why are things in vogue? Just one popular guy decides maybe to wear his trousers upside down. That's all. That's all. The things that there was a time we used to mock people whose shoes were high. High heels. Those you used to call his name like that. Eh? Paco? Bath, eh? Platform. No, I don't know that. There's a name. This was in the 80s and 90s. We see the picture of our parents and we'll be laughing. Now people are wearing it. And say, that's how this world is. The world just goes like this. It just goes like this. So you just be flowing with it. So now just track. Just stay back a bit. It helps your control over the affairs of this life. So fear, anxiety, and being sensual. Finally, the seventh one. It says, in being led by the Spirit, there's unity and agreement. There's multitude of counselors. And that's why the local church guides you. The local church is that safe harbor where you just come around. And I know this has happened to you, everybody. That when you just come to the service and pastor is teaching or they're leading songs, there just is something that brings to agreement what you feel led of God to do or not to do. There's that place of, you know, having supernatural relationships. Okay? That God has brought into your life, your local church, friends. Okay? That, you know, just these people are of God. They are just of God. Like I was telling somebody, I said, we're talking about something Brother Tokes told me, and someone I said, I've known Brother Tokes for many years, so I know this. I mentioned somebody else. There are people that God will bring into your life. And when they are talking, it's God that is talking. You know that. It's not the senses or the flesh. So that's there. Okay? Then, let me mention this. After a while in walking with God, okay, then number two, ministering to the Lord, right? Ministering to the Lord is, you should practice this a lot often. You just, after praying, just spend some time and just, like, minister to the Lord, you know, worship Him in praise, in tongues, interpretation, just, you know, do that often. I've said this over and over. Just, don't just pray and say amen, you know. Spend some time like that. You know, you would find a whole lot of clarity in things that your heart had laid hold on. Yeah. Then, as a believer, I heard this from Gloria Copeland, and I saw it in the Word afterwards. She said that they had this problem, and they went to look at Kenneth Hagin. And That thing got me to sit down, personally. I heard it first in year 1997, 1998. She said they went to Brother Hagin. They were having this challenge in ministry. So they now felt that, is this not the will of God? Maybe it wasn't God. So they said Brother Hagin now told them that, no. That oftentimes we all need to sit back and say, how does God normally lead me? That after a while as a Christian, you will have seen an established pattern. Of course, God will break that pattern once in a while, but you see an established pattern and how he leads you. I mean, you just, okay, God does this, God does this one. God will use certain people. That's how he does it. You know, to put his force and plan. Some people tell you that when I attend WCC, you know, there are things like that. There is a pattern. So, know that pattern. So, Brother Reagan said that, know how God is. That when it comes to him, that God pre-informs him of something years ahead. I know that's fascinating. I have to sit down and say, okay, that I know that there are things that I'll hear from God, and almost next day. And he's actually talking about 5 years. So I now establish that pattern to know that, okay, I won't put anything to work till, I remember I told a friend, and we're going to have a meeting. So he said, I told him, I said, I sensed that God wanted us to do something. I said, no problem, now Pastor Sheikh's come. So he had a ministry then, here in Lagos. I said, no. I don't do things like that. I said, it looks easy. You have an established ministry. So it looks easy that I should work. I said, but no. So I just said, no. Let's just watch how things play. And I know something, for example, for me, as a pastor, that things normally unravel. How do you start this community church? We just were meeting, and then I knew we were going to have a church. I didn't tell the people that we were meeting. So what happened was, we just said, the place was filled. Everybody was, I said, okay, let's go and use Faith Plaza. So I just asked them, what do we call ourselves, Faith Plaza? Let's go, cool. They didn't know that. So let's go, call it a church name. What do you think? Everyone gave me, I gave a name, they didn't accept it. And I said, let's go. I have noticed that pattern in many years. So I observed it. So you observe that kind of pattern. I'm not the kind of person that sit down and say, let's start planning. In 2024, we're going to have 4 churches, 10 churches, 10 churches. No. That has never been the pattern. I have never led you that way too. We just pray into it. So establish that pattern, how God leads. Okay? Examine every leading in the light of the word. Which means that there are sometimes, because we are human, we're vulnerable to hear our senses or our feelings and think God is speaking. But we can regularly meditate on the word of God, and we examine every leading in the light of God's word. Also, our faith and confession. Now, I can say this one till tomorrow. If there's one thing I know, look at me, guys. I know that you can't joke with your words. Your words fix the boundaries of your life. Your words. You cannot talk confusion and be led by God's word. You can't talk. You have to keep speaking God's word. Speaking God's word is obedience in itself. It's holiness unto the Lord. So learn to speak God's word often. Finally, I close here. Consecration to God's plan. What this means is, I am not going to have a predetermined agenda in hearing from God. I'm consecrated and dedicated to what he wants me to do. You know, and it means that sometimes the plan of God doesn't go as smoothly as you want it. Things will not just happen, but you stay with it. And you stay through with whatever you are doing. You know, I know that we are in a time in 2022, October, of consecration. A reset where we all rededicate our lives to God's purpose and plan. And I sense that is why I was led to share this. This was a conversation. I was led to share this. So I said, Brother Oaks, let me have the notes of what we just said now. I'm going to share. I told him, I said, I'm going to preach it on Wednesday. He said, I feel that, yes, we've had series on this, but we want to bring it together, right? In 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that how it's working? Did you get it that way? 1, 2. So I can always check this. Not be mechanical, but I'll know that, okay, I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to, yes. To be led by the Spirit of God. You know, I have to be full of the Word. I have to pray in tongues. You know, I have to be consecrated to God's purpose and plan. I believe that that's what's happening to us as a church. The Spirit is not going to be out of fashion for us. Amen. Hearing from God is not going to be out of fashion for us. The inward witness will not be in our past. Amen. Hearing from God will not be a story we are going to share. Amen. Visions and revelations will be part and parcel of our lives and ministries. We will not put these things in the past. We will pray in tongues, good times, bad times. We'll just keep praying in tongues because we are going to follow God's plan. Amen. These things will never be outdated. Very simple truth of God's word that you and I need. Amen. Let's pray in tongues instead of blessing. I feel like us singing that song, I Walk in the Light. But before we do, I sense to say this again. And two things, two things just stood out. You know, when you're teaching like that, you just know that two things are standing out. I think the primary one is the use of your words. You know, it stood out as I was saying it. The use of your words strongly. And to say that God has guaranteed me that He will always lead me. And I know that. So I will say it even in the darkest moments. I'll say it even in the craziest moments that God is leading me and I discern His will. So the use of my words are very, very important. The use of my words. And one thing I know, that God will not lead me. He will lead me by the senses. He will lead me by, just looking in the media, what people are doing, what they are not doing. No. He will lead me by His Spirit. Amen. I sense that we would, in this season, I know we have teachings we are listening to in this fast, but I believe that at the same time, just go back to those teachings on leading of the Spirit. Just listen to them. Sometimes just put them in your car. I believe that along the line, this month, next month, month after, you will see some areas of correction that you will make. I